Tonight, we are starting a series called Become, and you'll get to know more of what that's all about here in a second. But first, I want to draw your attention to something real quick. We have two very important, lovely people with us tonight. So I would like Courtney's parents to stand up in the back. This is Luann and Jim Natashek. Came all the way from upstate New York to join us tonight. They are here because, again, obviously Courtney is graduating this Friday. So, hey, I'm not trying to suck up to them, so hopefully they don't know they don't take that as this. But I'm very thankful for them because without them, I wouldn't have my beautiful wife that is with me now. So, and they so graciously took care of her and raised her to one day be scared to give her to me in marriage, so I could take care of her. So I'm very thankful for them, and I'm excited that they can be here tonight with us. So with that, wow, this thing is just, got this covered there, Chris? Because this is loud. All right, that's okay. It'll wake everyone up. Wow. Okay, here's the thing. First question of the night. Think back to your first clear memory of being alive right now. Just think, okay? Think right now as hard as you can. What's the first clear memory you have of being alive? This might be difficult. I actually had to think about it for about 10 hours. So, okay, this is my first clear memories. I got two for you. My first one is at Christmas time, actually, and I got my Tonka truck. Tonka truck. You guys, I guess maybe boys, there could be some girls. Did anyone get a Tonka truck when they were younger? And I'm talking about like the big one. I'm talking about like it was yellow and it was like this big and like this tall. And I remember running downstairs that morning and seeing it under the Christmas tree, and I just went right to it and I put my butt in it and I started to scoot because I was still small enough to get around in the Tonka truck. That's one of my first memories. I don't even remember how old I was, but had to be, I don't know, maybe 3 or 4. And then a little later on, the other clear memory I can only remember is when I was in preschool, and we all remember these moments, where we all gathered around the sandbox thing that was on standing things, and you could play with water in it, and like your friends are by you, and there's like a trough, and like you guys know what I'm talking about? Like a sandbox at preschool, but you could stand up by it and you could play with things inside of it. Yeah, I remember one of my good friends, I even remember his name, Jeff Dufek, was next to me, and this other guy named Todd, and we were just having a good old time. It was just great. And so those are like my two first clear memories. But you guys, anybody want to share their first clear memory? Anyone? Anyone have anything? Yeah, what was it? Oh, that was that clear, huh? Jeez, that's a bad first memory, but that'll make you never forget. All right, one more. Oh, man, I think we've all done that, huh? No? How old were you? 2, 3, 2.5, 3, something like that? All right, well, how about this? Does anyone remember the day when they were born? I absolutely doubt it. I doubt you remember the day. Okay. What I mean by that, because you need so much clarification in this room, is like, do you actually remember being birthed? Okay, I don't think so. If you do, I'm sorry. So I'm guessing not. But I wanted to share with you, how wonderful I looked when I was a baby. So let's see here. We have some pictures of myself. Hey now. This is little Gregory. Now look at me, dude. I'm already flexing, Bear. Where'd Bear go? Oh, there he is. I'm already flexing, man. You see that? Just wait till next week, okay? There I am. So studious. Right? That's another good one. All right, next one. Dude, look at that muscle shirt. Again, I am just popping out of everywhere. Like, that's like lime green. I still cute as ever, smile. I think the next one's my favorite. Oh, man. Dude, that's Elvis right there, reincarnated. Dude, like, I love that picture. I've always loved that picture. I don't know how my parents got me in that, but I love that picture. And then here's my last one here, a little bit older. I was jamming out. Alex Grant, watch out, dude. Look at that. I got the headset on so I can hear. And, like, look at the hat. Look at my pants. That's a Batman shirt, I think. That's right. Batman, all the way. Anyone love Batman when they were growing up? I think I did. I don't know. I just had the shirt on. But I couldn't continue, and this is kind of going to be a surprise, but I also wanted to share Courtney with you. So let's see her. Oh, my goodness. Man, she is just adorable. Hey, I had to cut off the rest of the picture. Never mind. All right. Okay, so moving on. Look at that. Oh, my goodness. She was definitely a lot cuter than I was. I know this, okay? You don't need to tell me. All right, next one. Oh, geez. A little bit slower now. A little bit, Tyler. Let's just give it a second, okay? This is good. Keep it here for a second. Now, this is the stage where she started getting those amazing curls of hers, the locks. Now, wait. Now, this next one is probably my all-time favorite because she still makes this face till today. Here we go. Yeah. She's like, I want it my way now, okay? And her mom and dad know what I'm talking about. That is just, she honestly still does that sometimes. She gives me the lip, and then I give in, and whatever she wants, she gets it. Let's see what the next one is. I forget. Oh, my goodness. Jeez. You got, that's all you guys got? That's it? You're just going to look at your camera and go, aw, or nothing? All right. I think there's one more. That's my favorite. That's when she's a little older. She's like a princess right there. You know, I know why that's my favorite, because one day I'm going to have a little girl, and she's going to be beautiful just like that, and she's going to have a dress on, and I'm going to love her to death. So that's Courtney. She said, don't do that, but I did it, so too bad. So here we go. Here's another question. Maybe you don't remember the day you were born, but do you have people in your life that do? Probably. Okay, I guess you would. How about this? Have you ever asked them about how it went? No, wait. Again, I'm not talking about like the gross details and stuff like that. But I'm talking about the way their heart felt, or the way what they felt when they first held you in their arms and everything like that. Now let me make a point here for a second. Now again, Again, I want to make a side comment. Now, again, these people could have been your biological parents, your grandparents, your adoptive parents, whoever it was that raised you, okay? But, again, have you ever asked them what joy they had when you first came to be? And I think that's something that you maybe should do someday in your life. And for those of you who are with your biological parents, have you ever asked them what was going through their minds when they first found out you were going to be there or be here on Earth in, like, 9 months? You know, that would be interesting to ask, too. They're, like, probably freaking out, or we were poor, and we tried to keep you in as long as we could. And sometimes it's a good thing to know those types of things, because they could be encouraging. You could hear some encouraging things back. Oh, we just loved it, and we couldn't wait, and we had your crib the first second we found out. And but here's another thing. But perhaps it might not be good because of the reactions you may get. My first serious moment of the night, if you haven't seen this yet. Maybe you don't want to ask because of the reactions that you would get or that you would find out. And it would bring up all this bad memories and these feelings that you don't want to hear about when you came into this world or how you came into this world and all that kind of stuff. Well, tonight I want to start off by telling you that no matter who brought you into this world, who has raised you to today, you need to know that you were thought of way before your parents ever thought of you, all right? So whoever brought you in, whoever took care of you, however that happened, you were thought of way before your parents even thought of you. You were thought of way before even your parents were even thought of. And I know this because in Jeremiah 1:5, this is what God says, "Before I shaped you in the womb, I knew all about you. Before you saw the light of day, I had holy plans for you. A prophet to the nations, That's what I had in mind for you. And if you've never read that verse before, maybe you've heard this verse a million different times, but it's a good reminder tonight, because I know some of you are sitting here tonight, and some of you still can't, you still don't know why you're here on earth. Some of you don't want to be here on earth. Others, you don't really care how it all came to be. And some of you probably don't even still believe even a passage like this, that even God thought of you before you ever made, because maybe your whole life you've been told that you're a mistake, or you've been telling yourself that you're a mistake. But the truth is, you weren't. That's the truth. I don't care whatever else you say to me or what excuse you make. The truth is right there, because that's in the Word of God. The truth is that you were thought of, and that God has plans for you. And you might not know fully what those plans are, but they're bigger than you could ever imagine. And see, that's what we're going to be talking about these next 3 weeks. You're born to become something you could never imagine. And we're going to fully explain this, and hopefully God will be speaking to you and showing you why you were created on this earth. With that being said, we're also going to be looking into a birth that was foretold as well, and that has shaped the past, present, and eternity. And we get to look at it in a way that all of us can relate to. So let's take a look at the screen here. Jesus. 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 Say that with me for a second. Jesus. Again. Jesus. Again. Jesus. Bear, I didn't see you say it. Jesus. Why am I saying Jesus? I want to start out with that because, man, how often do you say that word, honestly? Think about it. It doesn't count when you substitute it for a swear word, okay? That doesn't count. I was thinking why it is that we are so afraid to say that word when we are around our friends, family, or even when we do say it, we whisper it, yes. Or we say God to substitute it for Jesus, because for some reason, God's easier to say than Jesus, really, if you think about it. And it's weird that people can be comfortable like dropping the F-bomb or other swear words all they want or all day long, but when it comes to saying Jesus, it's difficult or something. Is this because we're ashamed? You need to be asking yourself that. Are we ashamed of what people say, or we won't be confident enough in ourselves when we say Jesus? Because usually when we're saying Jesus, we're probably telling someone about Jesus, right? And we don't want to do that. That's a weird question. Why would I want to do that? And sometimes we don't want to say Jesus or tell other people about Jesus because we're just as bad as them. Or no, we're just, and if we did tell them about Jesus, we'd just feel like a hypocrite anyways. So those might be all the reasons why the word Jesus, I bet, never really comes up in your vocabulary very much. But see, the thing is, there's so much power in the name of Jesus. Because honestly, I'm standing up here right now, and I say that, and I don't know if you've ever actually said it and you meant it, and you actually say the word Jesus, you should feel something inside of you when you do. Because every time I say it, it's that much harder to say it again. Because I'll just break. Have you ever been like that when you say the word Jesus? There's so much power in it. There's so much power in it because he is the highest power, okay? He is the highest power. And we can be connected to that and draw from it to help others. You see, to be the light in the people's darkness, you need to be connected to the highest power, and that is Jesus. You catch that? To be the light in the people's darkness, you need to be connected to the highest power. And that is Jesus. So now I'm done with my intro, and we can move forward. We'll be talking about Jesus for the next 3 weeks and the different stages he went through. And tonight is obviously the baby stage, okay? The baby stage of Jesus. And why it's so significant for him and for us. I got some actually pictures of baby Jesus here. So let's take a look at those. There he is. I just want you guys to understand that these are real, okay? These are authentic, like they were taken. So there he is with Mary. That means Mary's real. There's another one. Joseph is in there. These were taken right after, so they cleaned them off, obviously. So let's see the next one here. Yep, that's real too. That was almost one of the closest authentic ones I could find. But I think the next one's a little better than that, actually. Yep, there it is. That's baby Jesus. That is him in his shining glory. And actually, this last one is the most authentic one to date of Jesus. So here it is. Doll and all. Now, I know I'm just joking, obviously, if you haven't caught that yet. But I want to give two more disclaimers before I go here. I got a lot to get through still, and I'm going to be probably talking pretty fast. And so that means I really need you guys to continue to pay attention from here to the end. And also, as you've already probably noticed, I've been using my notes a lot tonight, and that's because a lot of this, it's not that it's like new to me, but a lot of the information that I want to give you tonight is new, and I want to make sure I want to make sure you get it the way that God gave it to me. Okay, so if I'm looking at my notes a lot, just bear with me, because I know usually I don't do that, or I'm not like suffocated right here, but just bear with me tonight. So let's dig into His Word. Who has their Bible and notebook tonight? Who has both? Like, if you have both your Bible and notebook tonight, raise them up. I want to see them. All right. Here's $5 for you. Here's $5 for you. Anybody else have their Bible in notebook? No, that doesn't count. That doesn't count. I want to see hardcover back in the day. Bible notebook, there's $5 for you. Is that legit right there? All right, you better keep that out. All right, there we go. Hey, it's all right, man. You get next time. So if you do good things, you'll get rewarded. All right, there's $20 I just handed out total. And here's the cool thing. If you bring your Bible and notebook, that $5 doesn't even match the worth of what it will be worth to you if you actually do bring it and you pay attention, and the gifts that you'll get in heaven because you're paying attention, okay? So that was just a reminder that you will be gifted if you're paying attention and you got the right tools in front of you. All right, so I want to dig into a couple things real quick tonight. Luke is the first thing I want you guys to turn to or lazily look at the screen like I always give it to you up there. Luke 1, 26 through 45. I'm going to go through this quick. So, the birth of Jesus foretold. In the sixth month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, to a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked. "An angel. Since I am a virgin," the angel answered, "the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she was said to be barren in her sixth month. Now she is. For nothing is impossible with God." 38 says, "I'm the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May it be to me as you have said." Then the angel left her. I'm sitting on verse 38 here for a second because this is really important. And I'm going to take a quick moment and talk specifically to the young ladies in this place. I don't do this very often where I talk specifically to one gender, but right now I'm going to specifically talk to young ladies. But that doesn't mean you men or young men or whatever you are, okay, you zone out. You want to know why you don't want to zone out during this time? Because what I'm going to say to the young ladies is something very important for you to hear too, because it's something that you want to know about a young lady and the type of young lady you want to pursue someday, okay? So just because I'm talking to a young lady right now doesn't mean the young men zone out. It said right there that, "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "Mary, may it be to me as you have said." Then the angel left her. Young ladies, take note of that. There's some things I want to take from that you really need to pay attention. You think it's crazy if an angel showed up at your front door and said, "You're going to be pregnant and it's going to be through the Holy Spirit and I want you to carry Jesus"? Is the first thing you're probably going to say is, "May it be to me as you have said"? Yeah, I doubt it. Okay? But this shows so much about Mary. And it should show something to you tonight, young ladies. Mary was one of the best examples of a godly woman in the Bible. Young women need to take account of this and see her qualities through this process as we read more tonight. Here's a handful of things that Mary represented just in this passage and throughout Scripture. She was 1, brave. 2, excited. 3, life-giving. 4, comforting. 5, a teacher. 6, supporter. 7, faithful to the end. And 8, loving. Guys, young ladies, verse 38 explains this, that Mary submitted her life completely to God's will and trusted his message. She willingly accepted the honor and the criticism of being with Jesus. All right? And what this would bring for her to be the mother of Jesus. Part of the disrespect would come right away. All right, guys? When people found out when she first got pregnant, it's going to start right there. They're going to be like, how are you pregnant? You weren't even married, all this type of stuff. So she was going to take that on right away. But how she responded was unbelievable. See, not through human sexual relations, but through a miracle of the Holy Spirit, Jesus came to be. Young woman, you should follow Mary's example in these few things. Sexual purity, love for God, faith in his word, and a willingness to obey the Holy Spirit no matter what he asks. I really felt in my time when I prepared this message that I needed to take some time to tell you young ladies that. And to you understand that Mary had a huge role in this. And how she responded was incredible. And she responded in all these ways and through sexual purity and love for God and faith in his word and a willingness to obey the Holy Spirit no matter what God asks. And that's good stuff. I don't know what you think, but that's good stuff. And men, I hope you are listening because that's the type of woman you want to pursue someday when you marry, is the qualities I just put out there. So if you weren't listening, young men, I guess you're not going to get one of those. Or come ask me afterwards and I can remind you. And I just want to also just make it clear that none of those qualities, men, okay? This is to you men now. None of those qualities represented during that was to make the woman look more attractive on the outside. There's nothing in there that the woman had to do to make herself look more attractive on the outside so you would pursue her. Those are all inward qualities. Much more important than the outward qualities that we learned probably 6 months ago that beauty is fleeting, okay? So you better catch them and you better marry them, not just for their looks because it's going bye-bye, okay? Sorry, that's what the Bible says in like Psalms or something, or Proverbs actually. So men, take heed of that. Women, I hope you needed to hear that. I want to continue into Matthew because it talks about Jesus in Matthew 2. Matthew 1 through 18, 2 and 12. This is the birth of Jesus Christ too. This is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. I don't know how much clearer you need to hear it. Here it is. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be with a child through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man, and he did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. Guys, right off the bat, there's going to be a divorce happening with Jesus. All right? That's crazy. You need to remember how much turmoil was happening while this was going on. Joseph was going to divorce Mary because at this moment, there's no way he could have been with her because how is she pregnant? It wasn't me, Joseph said. So how is this happening? But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife because she is conceived in her what she has conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. I want to explain verse 21 for you. Jesus in Greek, in the Greek form of the Hebrew word, I know that's confusing. Jesus in the Greek form of the Hebrew word is Yeshua, meaning the Lord saves. This describes many things, such as the promise of the gospel, okay? This is going to be a lot right here. This is, you better eat this up, okay? This is good stuff. It's the promise of the gospel, which is good news of spiritual salvation. That's what Jesus means. Good news, spiritual salvation, everything. As the Savior, Jesus will save his people from their sins, their spiritual rebellion, and offenses against God. Sin is the greatest enemy of the human race. Why is sin the greatest enemy of the human race? Because it separates you from God. Sin is the greatest enemy because it separates you from God. And it destroys your eternal souls and lives. However, Jesus broke the power from sin, as most of us know, by sacrificing his own sinless life. Those who accept Jesus are spiritually transformed through the power of the Holy Spirit, the same Spirit which conceived Jesus. It's crazy, huh? You tying it all together now? Good, I hope so. I know this is a lot. Continuing on in verse 23, or 22. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. 23, the virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. Verse 23, in order for Christ's sacrifice to be able to cover sin once and for all right, in order for Jesus to be born and to cover sin once and for all, he had to be perfect, undeserving of death, and only God himself could provide such a perfect sacrifice. The virgin birth satisfies all these three requirements. You guys see that? The virgin birth satisfies all these three requirements. And I want to give you these A, B, and C. A, only way he could become fully human was to be born of a woman. Right? Not like a sheep or a cow. Okay, the only way Jesus could be fully human was from a woman. Did that happen? Yes. B, the only way to be born totally sinless by birth and through life was being conceived through the Holy Spirit, like we've been saying over and over again, okay? So he only could be sinless from birth for the rest of his life is if he was only conceived through the Holy Spirit. That's why Jesus, walking on this earth, he never sinned, because he was conceived by the Holy Spirit. And C, only way he could be divine was to have God as his Father. It's the only way. So he was conceived by natural, but supernatural means. So Jesus, in return, was presented to us as one person with two natures, divine and sinless human. Guys, I know I'm going really deep for you tonight, and I usually don't do this, and I'm usually just like really just screaming at you a lot. Well, that's coming in a second. But I usually don't go this deep and give you this much detail, but like, I just want you to get this, because the birth of Jesus is so important. And we're coming up to Christmas, and we're going to hear more about it as it comes. And you just got to understand the significance of the birth of Jesus and why it's so important. And then in verse 24, it says, when Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord. So he dreamed this, the Lord told him this, and now he woke up. He did what the angel of the Lord had commanded with him. And he took Mary home as his wife. But he had no union with her until she gave birth to a son. And he gave him the name Jesus. Does anybody know what no union means? He did not have sex with her. Okay? That's very important to note. So everyone, you know, just keep your pants on until you're married. Everything like that. Okay? Is that a good thing? All right, good. Hey, oh, actually... I thought we were in like our purity sex series for a second, but that's actually in April, so stay tuned, Bear, okay? You want to hear about that more? April. I already got it on the calendar. So, but until then, know what union means. No union. All right, continues on in chapter 2. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem, we're almost to the scripture part, just hold with me just a little bit longer. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, where is the one who has been born king of the Jews? We saw his star in the east and have come to worship him. When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people, chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Christ was to be born. In Bethlehem and in Judea, they replied, for this is what the prophet has written. We're going to stop right there. Chapter 2, verse 4 This is showing that Jesus was a big deal, if you haven't understood that up to this point. Jesus was a huge deal, all right? The chief priests were talking about him. The kings were talking about him. The magi wanted to go meet him and give him gifts. Not only that, but the magi in Joseph twice had dreams about Jesus, how they had to protect him. If you read on, that we're not going to, but go home and read it. They both had dreams of how they need to protect Jesus because Herod wanted to kill him. And then when they're after Jesus was born, another dream told Joseph to go somewhere else and all this kind of stuff. Jesus was a big deal. And that's really important for you to understand. And I know it might be obvious, but I don't think we really, all of us in this place, really understand how big of a deal Jesus is and how big of a deal his birth was. If I could have who's ever doing worship to come back up here. So how does this all relate to us? How does this all relate to you? I hope that's a question you're asking by this point. How does this relate to us? How does this, ask yourself, how does this relate to me tonight? Three things, how Jesus' birth relates to your birth and why and what you need to get before you leave tonight. Number one, just like Jesus, get this guys, this is so important. Just like Jesus' birth was foreseen by God, so was yours. Remember that? Remember that? Just how Jesus' birth was foreseen, yours was too. We read that, didn't we, in Jeremiah 1:5. It says, before I shaped you in the womb, I knew all about you. Before you saw the light of day, I had holy plans for you. A prophet to the nations. That's what I had in mind for you. That's huge. Number two, God has plans set out before you that you can begin following at any time. It's your choice. That relates to Jesus too. The plans that God had for Jesus were all set out before him. If you've read through the Gospels, if you know the things that Jesus did while he was here on earth, those were all set out before him. And guess what? Before you were born, plans, specific plans, detailed plans God had for you and still has for you right now. And number three, this is the biggest one right here. Jesus was born ultimately so you could be born again and become the man or woman of God he created you to be. You get that? You were born, Jesus was born so you could be born again. So you could be born again. So you could become the man or woman of God you were created to be. Because guys, without Jesus being born, without his birth, there is no salvation. There is no eternity, and there is no reason to live life to its fullest. You catch that? Without Jesus' birth, there is no eternity. There is no salvation. There's no reason for you to be even sitting here right now and listening to me and living life to its fullest. That's how important Jesus' birth was, and that's how important it ties to your birth. And that's how important it is that you're sitting here tonight and that you're alive. And some of you think that you were a mistake. And some of you think you should never have been born. And some of you hate your life. And some of you keep screwing up in so many different ways that you just wish you could be better. But I'm here tonight to remind you that you were born for a reason. That God knew about you before you were born. That God had plans for you before you were born. Understand something really important tonight. I know that every single person in this room is a sinner. That's obvious, okay? Myself included. But you have to stop beating yourself up for your sin. Just stop. Because you're never going to be perfect. You're going to keep screwing up. God's not going to take your past to create your future. That's why Jesus was born. If we look later on in Scripture, he died. He took the beatings for you guys. I know so many of you have heard this before. You've heard it if you were at D-Night. This is a salvation message, okay? This is very obvious. This is what's going on right now. But some of you need to hear this so badly tonight because you've been sucking at life. Plain and simple. You've been sucking at life. And you need to wake up. You need to remember that Jesus was a baby and he was born so you could be born again. And some of you can raise your hand tonight and you can say, I have been born again. And I have accepted Jesus. But the thing is, you've been taking that acceptance, that free gift that he's given you for granted. And you're stepping on it. And you're being a disgrace to what the free gift of what Jesus gave to you. Why? Because you've been ignoring his word. Why? Because you're not just sinning, but you're living in sin. You know what you're doing. You know you're doing stupid stuff. And you're not doing anything to fix it. Well, tonight, you need to fix it. Tonight, you have a chance to fix it. And I don't want this just to be some other altar call, because guess what? For the next 2 weeks, we're going to have an altar call just like this. So bring your friends if you want them to hear this. But tonight, I don't want this to be an altar call where you're going to raise your hand, you're going to come up here, you're going to leave, and you're just going to go back to the mess that you came in with. I don't want that. I'm sick of that. I'm sick of seeing it. I'm sick of seeing some of your Facebooks and what you say or what you talk about. Get serious. Because Jesus was born. Okay? There's power in the name of Jesus. He died on the cross for your sins. It happened, okay? You can't run from it. It happened. You either accept it or you don't. But if you accept it, I hope you're serious about it. Because I've told you this before. I don't want you coming back here if you're not serious about pursuing God for the rest of your life. It's a waste of my time and yours. Guys, I'm getting so hyped tonight because I don't want to just be like any other generation. I don't want to just be like any other Christian. I don't want a youth ministry just like any other youth ministry. And not for my glory, but for his. If you're going to come to Flight, if you're going to pursue God, then do it. Know that I'm not saying you need to be perfect. But I want to see effort. He wants to see effort. Because none of us can run away from the day when we die and we have to stand before him and answer to him. And he'll even say, depart from me, I never knew you. Or good job. Good job, my faithful servant. So here's what we're going to do to end this. And I already know it's like 4 minutes to 8:15. But guess what? Your parents can wait. They can call me and yell at me if they're angry. Okay, I don't care. Tell them to call me. This is too important. So I just need everyone's head down for a second. No one looking around. You know the drill. Most of you know this drill. Let's be respectful for the people around you. Here's the deal, guys. Again, there's two different people in this room tonight. The first person, maybe this is the first time you ever heard about Jesus Christ. You've ever heard about his birth. You've ever heard about how he died on the cross for your sins and how he took the beatings so you don't have to take the beatings and all that kind of stuff. This might be your first time. And I want to give you a chance tonight to accept him. I want to give you a chance tonight to ask him into your heart. See, in Romans 6:23, it says all have sinned. We just went through that. We've all sinned. But in Romans 5:8, it said Christ demonstrated his love for us while we were still sinners. That's crazy. We're all sinned, but Christ demonstrated his love for us while we were still sinners. Again, be patient. Please just keep your head down and your eyes closed. Here's the most important part in Romans 10:10. When it said, if we confess with our mouth and believe in our heart that Jesus is Lord, we will be saved. That's it. So tonight, if you've never accepted Christ into your life, you've never accepted Christ into your life for the first time, every head down, every eyes closed, if you want to accept Christ into your life for the first time tonight, I want you to raise your hand right now. Right now, raise your hand. If you've never accepted Christ in your life and you want to do it tonight for the first time, raise your hand and raise it high. All right. So here's the next step. The next person in this room, that means you've accepted Christ. You've accepted him. You know about his birth. You know how he died on the cross for your sins. You've said the prayer before, you've confessed. But you need to be honest with yourself tonight. You're messing around with the wrong stuff. You're messing around with the wrong people. You might even been to camps, conventions, whatever. But this is what I want for the rest of you tonight. I don't want you just to raise your hand. On the count of three, if you're serious, and I mean serious, I'm not saying if you're serious to be perfect. I'm saying right now, if you're serious for the rest of your life to take a stand for Jesus and to know that he wants you to become something more than you've ever imagined, on the count of three, I don't want you just to raise your hand. I want you to come to these altars. And maybe not just come, but I want you to run to these altars. If you're serious for the first time in your life or the 100th time in your life, and you want Jesus to be so much a part of you, and to throw away everything you've been doing and stay committed to him more than you ever have, on the count of three, I want you to run to these altars. And this worship team is going to play a song, and you have a chance to go after him. But here's the thing. If you're not serious, I don't want you to run up here. I don't want you to run up here if you're not serious. So count of three, if you want to recommit your life to Jesus and take this to the next level that Courtney was talking about, that we can go to the next level with Christ tonight, I want you up here in this place. One, two, three. Move if that's you. If you need to recommit your life, if you need to get serious about God tonight, right now, move. You're still sitting there, you know you need to move. Don't move because your neighbor moved. If you're up here right now, you're serious. So here's the deal. We're going to sing this song for about a couple minutes. Just the chorus. How he loves. Just a couple minutes, we're going to sing this song. And during this song, for 2 minutes, you have a chance to rededicate your life to Jesus in any way you need to. It's between you and you. You and God. Next to someone right now that is going to distract you, move away. Because right now you need to talk and connect with your Savior. They're going to sing. You sing, connect with Jesus, and I'm going to come up and close us in just a few minutes. All right, let's do this. How he loves. Guys, you need to know that tonight. It's plain and simple. You need to know that he loves you so much. You've been through or what you've been doing lately with your friends or by yourself, it doesn't matter. He loves you regardless. And like we proclaim tonight, I hope you love him in return for all he's done for you. I really, really hope you do. We're going to close in prayer, and I want you guys to repeat after me as we close in the prayer, but I want to say one more thing before we do that and before we're dismissed. If you need to talk to someone tonight, if you need to talk to a leader tonight, an adult leader in this place, please do. Please do not leave. If there's something you need to talk to us about, if you needed more prayer about something, that's why there's 12 of us here that want to be here for you and pray with you. I understand if you need to run out of here and your parents are probably already like calling your phone and it's buzzing all over the place or whatever. Guess what? Hopefully you understand this is way more important than that right now. This is your life. This is your life with Jesus. All right? This is eternity. So I just want you guys to repeat this after me as a declaration of us recommitting our lives to Christ, as a declaration of us getting serious about this, hopefully once and for all. And after we're done with that, you are dismissed. The band's going to keep playing. If you want to stay, again, you always know we go to Applebee's, whatever. If you know you need to stay, you stay. If you have to go, you go. But let's declare this together first. Dear God, dear God, come on, I want to hear you tonight. Dear God, thank you for sending your son Jesus as a little baby boy so I can be born again. God, I recognize that he died on the cross for my sins. And I believe that you raised him from the dead 3 days later. And I thank you for that. And I'm recommitting my life to that. For all the stupid stuff I've been doing, I want to get serious for Jesus. I want to get serious for Jesus. One more time, I want to get serious for Jesus. So God, help me. Because I know I'm a sinner. And I know I'm not perfect. But I promise to give my best from this day forth and forever. Thank you, God. Go with me, God. In Jesus' name. Amen. God, I pray a blessing over these students tonight, God. Protect them. Go with them. Meet with them. Speak to them. Be their Savior. Be their God. Be everything. Fill those things in their heart that they've been filling with other things that are destroying them. God, be that filling for them. God, I thank you for these students. Again, protect them as they walk from this place. Let your Spirit guide them. In Jesus' name.